So good morning, everyone. So again, let's start with a short meditation to prepare the body and prepare the mind. So as always, we begin by preparing the body, setting it into a state of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. Allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to regulate or control the breath in any way. Setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation. Letting go of any hopes or fears, worries or concerns about the past or the future. And simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. this session, we'll return to the cultivation of compassion, the wish for ourselves and others to be free of suffering and its causes. So first bring to mind someone close to you, a loved one, who's currently experiencing some sort of physical or mental problem or suffering. And picture them very clearly in front of you. Then arouse the thought, how wonderful it would be if they were free of that problem, free of that suffering. May you be free of all suffering and its causes. And then imagine their problem or suffering in the form of black smoke filling their body. And then imagine the inner purity of your mind. The natural purity of your mind in the form of a small, white, radiant sphere of light in the center of your chest at the level of your heart. And then with each in-breath, imagine drawing that black smoke out of their body and bringing it into the sphere of light at your heart, completely dissolving it there. So with each in-breath, breathe in with compassion, dissolving and extinguishing their suffering at your heart. imagine that that black cloud is now completely extinguished, and now they're completely free of that problem or suffering. And take joy in this. Next, bring to mind someone who you know very well, but is not really a friend, who's currently experiencing some sort of suffering. And again, picture them very clearly in front of you. Again, arouse the thought, how wonderful it would be if they were free of that problem, free of that suffering. May you be free of all suffering and its causes. And then imagine their problem or suffering in the form of black smoke filling their body. And then with each in-breath, imagine drawing that black smoke out of their body and bringing it into the sphere of light at your heart, completely dissolving it there. So with each in-breath, breathe in with compassion, dissolving and extinguishing their suffering at your heart. And imagine the black cloud is now completely extinguished, and now they're completely free of that problem or suffering. And take delight in this. And then allow your field of compassion to expand out further. and allow your mind to move around. And whoever comes to mind, whether it's a friend, a stranger, or even someone you find a little bit difficult, bring them to mind. They are just like yourself in wanting to be happy and wanting to be free of suffering. And arouse the thought, how wonderful it would be if they were free of all suffering and its causes. Imagine all their suffering and mental afflictions in the form of black smoke filling their body. And with each in-breath, breathe in with compassion, dissolving and extinguishing their suffering at your heart. And then allow your mind to continue to move around. And whoever comes to mind, whether it's an individual or even a group of people, breathe in with compassion, dissolving and extinguishing their suffering at your heart. release all appearances and simply allow the mind to come to rest. Simply resting in the experience of awareness itself. Simply be aware of being aware. So let's again begin with a short review before we move on to today's object for shamatha practice. So this shamatha practice is an integral practice in all traditions, of course, because with this practice we are cultivating a calm, clear, focused mind. And this is something very essential as a basis for all other practices, because without a calm, clear, focused mind, then whether we're doing vipassana practice, compassion practice, or some other sort of practice, they won't be very effective, because we're simply caught up in dullness and distraction. They really won't give us much, we won't get much progress in those practices. And so, of course, here, we're trying to cultivate these two qualities of stability and clarity. A stable mind, being able to focus on a given object without becoming distracted, but also a clear mind, to be able to focus on that object in a very clear way, overcoming dullness. But as we've seen, and maybe you've already experienced, to cultivate these two qualities effectively, we need to have that basis of relaxation. We need to have a relaxed body and a relaxed mind. Because if we don't have a relaxed body and a relaxed mind, we won't be able to effectively cultivate these two qualities. If we apply a lot of tension in our practice, as we actually normally do in daily life, then yes, maybe in the short term you can stabilize the mind a little bit and maybe even become a little bit clearer. But it comes at a huge cost, the cost of a lot of tension, agitation, and that's going to create a lot of fatigue as well, a lot of tiredness. So we really don't want to be following this approach, particularly what maybe some of you saw yesterday when we're using the nostrils, when we're elevating the focus and we're focusing on a more subtle object, then there can be this strong tendency to really tighten our focus, because it's more difficult to focus on that object. So really we need to make sure that, particularly if we're using the nostrils, is to really regularly monitor our body and mind and notice if any tension is arising, And if any tension is arising, then really to release that. Because if we simply allow our mind to become tense, then that's going to be very difficult to overcome. We're going to start to really develop that not very good habit of having a lot of tension in our focus. And if we follow that, particularly if we do extensive shamatha practice in a retreat setting, then that can lead to a lot of mental imbalance and a lot of agitation and fatigue as well. So we really don't want to go down that road. So again, it's important as a beginner to also monitor not just the mindfulness, but monitor that, to monitor if we're really getting agitated, tight and tense in our focus, in our body, in our mind. And we saw there that we have these two main tools of mindfulness and introspection. Mindfulness, of course, again, is our ability to hold the object, to not become distracted. And then introspection is the quality control, is monitoring that. Are we becoming dull or distracted? And then we saw that we can use many different types of objects for this practice. And, of course, in this retreat, we're focusing on those three objects, the breath, the mind, and then awareness itself. And so for the last two or three days, we've been working with the breath, and many of you will probably find, certainly as a beginner, that that's probably going to be the best object for you. Because it's a physical, tangible object, it's not too difficult to focus on, and has enormous benefits. Because by focusing on the breath, it really gets us out of our conceptual mind. Many of us really have a little bit of this, what's called OCD, obsessive compulsive delusional behavior, where we get caught up in our stories and obsess about certain things, and we really have a very discursive, active mind, often too active. And so by focusing on the breath, it gets us out of that conceptual mind into the body. And of course, most of our conceptual thinking is about the past and the future. We tend to live in the past and the future, and this creates a lot of unhappiness in our life. And so by focusing on the physical sensations of the breath, that gets us out of the past and the future into the present moment. So therefore, for these reasons, for many of us, the breath will be probably the best object, certainly in the beginning stages of this shamatha practice. But what we're going to do today is we're going to move to the second object in this retreat, and that is the mind itself. In Alan Wallace's book, he calls this practice settling the mind in its natural state. Now, many of you will probably find this a little bit more challenging than the breath practice, but this practice also can have enormous benefits, particularly for us in our modern day world. Because many of us are really the slaves of our mind. We're really often dominated by our mind. Often, of course, when some thought or emotion or memory or something comes up in our mind, we immediately identify with that. We get caught up in it. We follow it. We get caught up in our stories, and we often get overwhelmed by these mental events. So often our worst enemy is our own mind, because we are tormented by our own mind. And then also, of course, often if we have these sorts of mental events, these thoughts, emotions or memories coming up, and they tend to be unpleasant, then often we don't know how to deal with it. So often what we do, of course, is we try to suppress it. We try and stuff it back down. But suppressing these negative unpleasant thoughts, emotions and memories is, of course, is not dealing with them. And all that that does is, by suppressing them, then often they manifest as a lot of physical problems. I think a lot of physical illnesses in our modern day society can be traced back to suppressed mental content. And also then we tend to project a lot of this negativity onto the people around us. So whether we are expressing, getting caught up in these mental events, or we're suppressing, we end up being the slaves of our mind. We're tormented by our mind. Whereas in this practice here, by observing our own mind, we're going to become the masters of our mind instead of the slaves of our mind. Because in this practice, we are simply observing our own mind. Observing the mind, and then whatever mental events arise in the mind. We're learning to become the observer or witness of our own mind. Simply observing thoughts, emotions, and memories as they arise and pass, arise and pass. Without getting caught up in them, without identifying with them, without the need to suppress them. And every time we can manage to do that, every time we can manage to simply observe a thought, emotional memory arise and pass, we're not feeding it. Because every time we identify with a thought, emotional memory and follow it, or try to suppress it, we're feeding it. Which means the habit of this mental garbage coming up in our mind will get stronger and stronger and stronger, and we'll get overwhelmed by them. So, of course, what we often do is we try to fight with these mental events. We try to still the mind. We try to push these things away. But, of course, this is simply like throwing petrol on the fire. Our mind won't become still. Our mind, they won't go away. They'll just increase because we're fighting with them. So we don't need to fight with these things to deal with them. All we need to do is simply observe them. Because if we can simply observe them without suppressing, without getting caught up in them, we're not feeding them. Which means the habit of these mental events coming up in our mind will get weaker and weaker and weaker. Our mind will naturally become more quiet and still. And then also, of course, if we can really develop this habit, cultivate this habit of being the observer or witness of these mental events, then if some strong mental event were to arise in the future, we could simply be present with it and it won't overwhelm us. Because actually, if you look at what a thought, emotion, or memory really is, it's virtually nothing. Itself can't do anything to harm us. These thoughts, emotions, memories can only harm us if we identify with them or we try to suppress them. So therefore, we can really become the masters of our mind. So with this shamatha practice, not only will we also be cultivating a calm, clear, focused mind, our mind will naturally become more quiet and we'll become the masters of our mind as well. And it's very much a healing practice, because simply by acknowledging a lot of these things that we suppress can deal with them, can heal them. Now, unfortunately, there of course are a number of modern traditions or therapies that understand suppressing these mental events is very harmful. But unfortunately, sometimes what is offered as a solution is the exact opposite, expressing. So some of these modern therapies to overcome suppression, which we understand can be very harmful, is simply we go to the other extreme. And that is sometimes, you know, like in anger management, we may hear this thing, you know, let it out, don't hold it in, let it out, you know, shout at a wall or smash a pillow or something. Okay, for a short time, that relieves that pressure and tension and you may feel a bit better for a short time. But from a Buddhist perspective, all we've really done is we've flipped to the other extreme and we're just increasing our habit of expressing. So, okay, today we're shouting at a wall or smashing a pillow, but maybe tomorrow we're smashing someone's face. So from a Buddhist perspective, we don't need to express to overcome suppression. All we need to do is to simply observe. We don't need to get caught up in it and follow it and let it out and express it. Just simply observe it. Because if we can observe it, we're not suppressing it, and we're not getting caught up in it. We're not increasing our habit of expression. So this is really the middle way approach, and this is one of the huge advantages with this practice of observing the mind. So again, in this shamatha practice, the object of this practice is simply what's called the space of the mind, and then whatever mental events arise in that space. So in this practice, we are simply observing mental events, which means
The sense objects are not part of this practice, which means if some sound were to arise or some tactile sensation in the body arises, these are not objects that we are to observe in this practice. Like the breath practice, if some sense distraction arises in this practice, let it go, let it go, let it go. With mental events, with thoughts, emotions, memories, mental images, then those objects, we simply observe them as they arise and pass, arise and pass. So this is the object of this practice. Now, to have a look at this practice in a little bit more detail before we go into the practice now, I'd like to read a little bit again from Alan Wallace's book, because there's a couple of important things to mention before we jump into the practice. So he talks about this practice on page 83. The object of mindfulness in the practice of settling the mind in its natural state, so this is the name he gives to this practice, is no longer the subtle sensations of the breath at the nostrils, but the space of the mind and whatever events arise within that space. The object of introspection, as in the earlier practice of mindfulness of breathing, is the quality of the attention with which you are observing the mind. And then now he's quoting a particular text that describes this practice. And the text says, "At the beginning, have many daily sessions, each of them of brief duration, and focus well in each one." So again, here we see that the emphasis is quality over quantity. And then the text goes on to say, "Whenever you meditate, bear in mind the phrase," and the phrase is, "without distraction and without grasping, and put this into practice." So now he's commenting here. He says, "As you venture into this practice, I would encourage you to memorize these quintessential instructions. Settle your mind without distraction and without grasping. Practicing without distraction means not allowing your mind to be carried away by thoughts and sense impressions. Be present here and now, and when thoughts arise pertaining to the past or future, or ruminations about the present, don't be abducted by them. As you hike on this trail of shamatha, don't be a hitchhiker catching a ride with any of the thoughts or images that whiz through the mind. Rather, be like a kestrel hovering motionlessly as it faces the wind, slightly moving its wings and tail feathers to adjust to changes in the currents of the air. Even when your attention is settled in the present, you may still grasp onto the appearances to the mind. Whenever you prefer one mental object over another, whenever you try to control the contents of your mind, and whenever you identify with anything at all, grasping has set in. Here is the challenge at hand. Be attentive to everything that comes up in the mind, but don't grasp onto anything. In this practice, let your mind be like the sky. Whatever moves through it, the sky never reacts. It doesn't stop anything from moving through it. It doesn't hold on to anything that's present, nor does it control anything. The sky doesn't prefer rainbows to clouds, butterflies to jet planes. Whatever comes up in the field of awareness, without distraction or grasping, just let it be." So just let it be, of course, means to not identify with it, not try and push it away, simply observe it as it arises and passes. Now, there's one more thing with this practice before we go into the practice, and that is the eyes. In this practice, it's very much recommended to have the eyes open, and there are a number of reasons for this, and to explain that, and then I'll comment a little bit more on that. Again, we'll go back and read what Alan Wallace says about the eyes in this practice. And so this is on page 86. And in the text that he's quoting, the short phrase about the eyes, it says, "Let your gaze be vacant." And then he comments on that. He says, In this practice, it is important that your eyes are open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. If you have not meditated with your eyes open, you may find this uncomfortable, but I encourage you to get used to it. Blink as often as you like, and don't strain your eyes in any way. Let them be as relaxed as if you were daydreaming with your eyes open. By leaving the eyes open while focusing your attention on the domain of mental events, the artificial barrier between inner and outer begins to dissolve. Especially in our materialist society, we have gotten used to the idea that our thoughts and all other mental events are inside our heads. But this has never been demonstrated scientifically. All that is known in this regard is that mental events are correlated with neural events, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are located in the same place. Even without this materialist assumption that the mind is nothing more than a function of the brain, we naturally have a sense that we are looking out on the world from behind our eyes. But this sense of an independent subject or ego inside the head is an illusion. There is no scientific support for such a belief. And when it is inspected through rigorous contemplative inquiry, this autonomous thinker and observer inside the head is nowhere to be found. In this practice, by leaving your eyes open, but by directing your attention to the mind, this conceptually superimposed demarcation between inner and outer begins to erode. You begin to recognize that your thoughts are not occurring in here in the head, nor are they occurring out there in space. This practice challenges the existence of an absolutely objective space of the physical senses that is absolutely separate from the subjective space of the mind. You are now on the path to realizing the meaning of non-duality. So again, very much recommended in this practice to have the eyes open. And again, you can have them slightly open or just naturally open. But again, as he's mentioning in the book, we're not straining the eyes. We're not trying to deliberately unfocus our gaze. Keep them nice and relaxed. Blink as often as you need. And then just vacantly rest your gaze in the space in front of you. And as he said, if you're not used to meditating with your eyes open, you may find this a little bit uncomfortable or unusual. And that was my experience when I first started meditating in this way, because for many years I always had my eyes closed because I was very agitated. So when I began to do this practice, I did find it quite uncomfortable, but I quickly got used to it. And now generally I just meditate with my eyes open, and I find it very beneficial and advantageous. Particularly in this practice here, by having the eyes open, a number of benefits. One that he mentioned is that with the eyes open, you don't have this artificial sense of inner and outer. With your eyes closed, there really seems to be a me in here and a world out there. So by having the eyes open, this false sense of inner and outer, this false sense of duality, is less. And so that's going to be very helpful later, in particular, when we move into the Vipassana practice, the wisdom practice, when we come to realize that actually there is no subject-object duality. So this is a little bit of a bridge into Vipassana practice as well. But also, of course, with the eyes open, very helpful for clarity, because if we have our eyes closed, very easy to drift into dullness. Also with the eyes closed, personally, I find it's much easier to start daydreaming and getting caught up in a lot of conceptual thinking. Whereas with the eyes open, we're not really focusing on a particular object, but the visual gaze is still somewhat engaged. And the visual gaze only occurs in the present moment. So personally, not only do I find that it helps improve clarity of attention, but it helps me to lock my mind into the present moment And it's easier to remain in the present rather than with the eyes closed, much easier to drift off into the past and the future. So these are some of the reasons for having the eyes open, and particularly in this practice. And so that's what we're going to be practicing now. We're going to be practicing this practice for one session for 24 minutes before we take a morning tea break. The object in this practice is just the space of our mind and whatever mental events arise in that space. And to simply observe mental events as they arise and pass without identifying with them, without getting caught up in them, and without trying to get rid of them. Just observing them arise and pass. Okay? So finding a nice comfortable posture, and we'll do the practice. So simply allowing your awareness to descend into the body. Becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. Particular, making sure all the muscles in the face are soft and relaxed. Allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm.
with each out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen. Simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. With this shamatha practice of observing the mind, as with all shamatha practices, the type of attention we use is what's called bare attention, meaning to observe the object directly without commenting on it. So to practice this bare attention, we'll first focus on some sense objects for a short time before moving to the mind. So now allow your eyes to be open and bring your attention to the visual field in front of you, the field within which shapes and colors are appearing. And simply observe this visual field without projecting or labeling, that is, with bare attention. And in the scene, let there be just the scene. Now close your eyes and bring your attention to the auditory field, the field within which sounds are appearing. And again, without labeling or conceptualizing, simply observe the sounds that are arising in the auditory field with bare attention. And in the heard, let there be just the heard. Now bring your attention to the field of the body, the field within which tactile sensations are appearing. And again, without visualizing the body or labeling or conceptualizing, simply with bare attention, observe the tactile sensations arising in the body. And in the sensed, let there be just the sensed. Now allow your eyes to be at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you, keeping the eyes soft and relaxed, blinking as often as you need. And now bring your attention to your own mind and simply observe your own mind and whatever is arising in the mind. Thoughts, emotions, memories, mental images. Simply observe these mental images as they arise and pass, without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. you're new to this practice and you're not sure what to focus on, then every now and again, deliberately generate a thought. Any thought will do. And simply watch that thought as it arises in your mind. And then watch it as it disappears back into the mind. And then keep your attention right where it was. And simply wait for the next thought to appear in that space. Now, if you find that you got caught up in a thought and got carried away, then as always, the first thing to do is simply relax and then release grasping onto that thought and very gently return to observing the mind. So again, relax, release, and return. Every time you get carried away by a thought,